Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Bill and Todd's Excellent Digression. And we got a new show to premiere.
Yay.
We're doing episode one of season one of Star Trek Strange New Worlds. And just right off the bat, I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say that that was classic freaking Star Trek.
Yeah, I think so.
At its best.
I think so. That was definitely good.
I mean, there was a couple of things that kind of made me, raise my eyebrow, which we might get to, might not, I don't know. But still, overall, I give that episode a 9 out of 10.
Oh, definitely. I agree. I was kind of worried about it when we first heard about it, but now I think it's going to be all right.
Yeah. And my rankings of the pilot episodes of the various Star Trek series, I don't know, might have a new number one.
Yeah.
Because that episode was really good. I mean, before that, it was the Enterprise pilot.
Yes, the Enterprise pilot was good.
Yeah, that was the best pilot out of all of them, in my opinion. But this one might have an edge on the Enterprise pilot, which is saying a lot, because that Broken Bow episode was really good.
Yes, indeed.
So let's get into it, shall we?
Yes, let's.
All right, so it starts off, and we have Una, number one. She's making a speech about first contact. And then it shows aliens are receiving the transmission. And the aliens determine that the signal is, in fact, from space. And their primitive cameras and telescopes, they get a visual, and it's the USS Archer, speaking of Enterprise.
Yeah, I know, right?
But the thing is it's like the Kelvin. It's a saucer section on one nacelle, and I really hate that design.
Yeah, but hey.
It looks stupid. But anyway, it's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if a Starfleet ship is going to get destroyed, I'd have it be one of them. I mean, they just look goofy. Whoever's idea it was to come up with that design just needs to be fired, because it's just like you're going to put one nacelle on it. It looks stupid.
Yeah, it does look a bit goofy.
Yeah, I mean the first time we ever saw that was in that first of the new movies that we don't like to talk about.
Yeah.
And I hated it then.
Yeah, right.
And you know what? That ship was called the Kelvin.
Yes.
And it was called the Kelvin Timeline. And you know why everything got fucked up? Because that ship only had one nacelle on it.
That ship only had one nacelle.
Hey, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
All right. We'll run with that for sure.
Yeah. So we switched to Captain Pike. He's in Montana during the winter, and he's watching The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Yes.
It's a first contact movie.
Indeed it is.
And I can't see any reference to A Day the Earth Stood Still without making me think of Army of Darkness.
Right?
Klaatu, Varada. I got your book. So, and then we find out that Pike has been busy with what we find out is another captain named Captain Battelle.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been busy. And so busy he forgot to shave.
Well, thigh brush and all that.
No, he had a big Todd beard.
Yeah. Like I said, the thigh brush.
So he's not sure that he wants to go back into space. And we find out that this happens like shortly after the incident in Discovery Season 2.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't like to call it, I don't want to call this series a Discovery spinoff, but for all intents and purposes, that's what it is.
Yeah, it pretty much is.
But I don't care. It's better than Discovery. Just that one episode is better than Discovery.
Yeah, definitely.
So he starts having flashbacks of what he saw on the Klingon moon, and we find out the specifics on that later on in the episode. But he said it's classified, and Batel says, "I have a higher security clearance than you do," and he's like, "Not for this.
Not for this. He's like,
not for what's in my head, bitch."
Right.
So his comm is beeping, and he ignores it. We find out that Batel is shipping out the next morning, and his communicator keeps beeping.
Well, she called it a phone. She's like, "Your phone's ringing."
Oh, yeah, she did, didn't she?
Yes.
Yeah, so then we switch to Pike. He's out on a horse, and the Admiral flies in on the shuttlecraft, and it looked a lot like the Galileo.
Yes.
I mean, it wasn't the Galileo, but it looked a lot like the Galileo. And one thing I did like about it is they kind of took a page from Star Wars in the fact that that ship looked like it, that shuttlecraft looked like it had seen some wear and tear.
Oh, yeah.
So it didn't look like shiny, brand new, like, you know, everything else in Star Trek does. So it, that looked like it had seen some, you know, seen, maybe it was like about to be surplused.
Yeah. Yeah, it looked like it's been around for a bit.
Yeah. So it's an admiral steps out of the shuttlecraft, and he's there to order Pike back into service. And he wasn't supposed to, the Enterprise wasn't supposed to be going back into service for another 6 weeks. And he's like, "I'm on vacation." And the admiral says, it's your first officer. It's a first contact mission that's gone bad." And he's like, "It's not my problem."
That admiral is also the very first captain of the Enterprise.
Right, and Pike was his first officer.
Yeah.
I was getting to that.
Oh, were you? Okay. I didn't know if you'd skipped over that or not. Sorry.
Oh, no worries. But he said that Una had basically gone rogue on a first contact mission, which to me seems illegal.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of that in this episode.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that.
So they haven't had any communication with her. And the admiral asks, it's like, "Well, what happened to you out there?" And he, of course, says, "It's classified." And he's like, "Well, classified or not, whatever. I need you back in the game now. You're going to go rescue your first officer." And Pike's like, "Fine." "Damn it." And then we cut to space, the final frontier.
Yeah.
And we also find out that the Enterprise at that time was sent out on 5-year missions frequently. So that would make the Enterprise, what, probably about 8 years old at that point?
Give or take.
Yeah, give or take, because it's 5-year mission hadn't, you know, with Pike hadn't ended yet.
Yeah.
So what do they do, change captains every time? Well, yeah, 5 years is a long enough time to make it or break it, find out if you're going to be promoted to admiral or not.
Yeah, and that, or, you know, they get the new ships, captains, you know, the experienced captain mm-hmm. goes to the new ship, and you get a new guy on the old ship, and, you know.
Preferably the first officer or yeah. whatever.
I mean, you know, you don't want to yeah. give your brand new ship to a fucking rookie.
Right. Yeah. So, and I noticed something in the opening sequence to this. There's a Roddenberry in the production team.
Is listed there?
In the opening credits.
Cool.
Yeah.
I didn't see that. I didn't catch that.
Yeah, I just saw the name and I backed it up. I'm like, what? Yeah, it was a Roddenberry. Maybe his son or something.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, no wonder it was good. So then we get to Vulcan, and we see Spock and T'Pring. And how could a Vulcan man ever seduce a human female?
I have no idea.
The Vulcans are just boring.
Yeah.
And
I mean, I'm assuming you're talking about Sarek and Spock's mom.
Yeah. And but
I don't know. Maybe Sarek had more game than Spock does. I don't know.
Well, it would seem that way from what we remember of Sarek, though. Sarek seemed, Sarek had more of a personality, more of a, outgoing personality than
Spock.
Well,
yeah, because he was an ambassador, so he kind of had to,
Right, that and Spock made it his whole life's mission to suppress his emotion. But, so, anyway, she proposes and gives him an engagement necklace. And they're about to get busy, and then Pike messages him, tells him to get back to Earth, get back to the Enterprise.
Yeah.
He's like, "Are you naked?
Are you naked?"
And then T'Pring says he was about to be.
Yeah. That was good. I love that.
Yeah. So, and they do a little bit of back and forth about the I don't want to have to chase you across the galaxy in order to get married and all that stuff. But this brings up a little bit of a plot hole, because in a muck time,
he had to go back because she was going to be with someone else, and he went back to.
Yeah, but it also said that they hadn't seen each other since she was a child. I remember that.
Oh, yeah.
Huh. I don't care. I don't care about that plot hole. I like T'Pring, and I hope we see more of her.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I didn't even really think about that, but you're right. But yeah, I don't mind that one. We can let that one fly.
Yeah, we can. If that's the only thing we have to complain about, we're in good shape.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Pike is in the shuttlecraft Stamets. Well, you got to figure it's like, well, I like the fact that Stamets only gets a shuttlecraft named after him.
Right. But yeah, I heard that too, and I was like, man, poor guy. He only got a shuttlecraft named after him.
but you gotta think, it's like according to everybody, I think, everybody thinks that Discovery was destroyed.
Oh yeah, I think,
and that all those people are dead. So, yeah. So of course there's going to be ships and stuff named after them.
God,
but Stamets only.
Just don't give us a Michael Burnham, please. Come on.
Yeah. Right. Maybe a garbage scowl.
name one of them stupid one to sell ships after her or something. But God.
Yeah. Yeah. The one of those. One missiles, yeah. I'd be okay with that. But they arrive at the space dock, but the Stamets doesn't even dock. I mean, Pike just beams to the Enterprise.
Hey,
I thought that was kind of funny. It's just like, okay, why even bother with a shuttlecraft?
I know,
you're just
right?
Gonna beam from the shuttlecraft to the ship. And I also had a thought. Why Stamets only got his a shuttlecraft named after him?
Yeah,
because he obviously doesn't care about the ships, because it's like the ship's getting pummeled and he's sitting there talking about his feelings with so it's just like a
all right,
okay, you obviously don't care about the ship, so here's a shuttlecraft. I couldn't resist. We might get some hate over that one.
Yeah, we might, but it'll be all right. Okay, I have a question, though, because it's been a minute since I seen that one where they were going after Spock, but is the guy playing Spock on this the same guy that played Spock on Discovery?
Yes.
Okay, because, I mean, I know he had that beard the whole time, except right up until the end, but I don't know, he looks different to me for some reason.
Yeah, it's because you're used to him with long hair and the beard.
I mean, I know, like, right at the end he cleaned up and whatever, but I don't know. He looks different to me for some reason. I don't know.
Looks like he put on some weight.
Yeah, maybe.
It does look like he put on a little bit of weight. I'm not calling him fat. It's just his face is a little more round than it was from what I remember.
Yeah, I think that's it. That's probably what it is.
Yeah, so he's put on a little bit of weight.
Well, and the scene we were just talking about looked like he put on a lot of muscle too.
Well, if you put on a lot of muscle, he did look kind of bulky, especially when he had his shirt off.
Yeah. Are you naked?
Are you naked? So.
But yeah, he's looking a little buff, man. So hey, good for Spock.
Mm-hmm. Good for Spock. Well, he's got to be if he's going to keep up with T'Pring. I mean, she looks like she put a beating on you.
Yeah, right. Looks like she's about to put a beating on him when he's leaving too.
Yeah, Pike saved his life. I really do hope we see more of her.
Yeah, I hope she is not just a, you know, like a one-time character here. I hope she has a recurring role in some capacity.
She's got to because they gave her the role that they the lines that they gave her in this one were just too good to be a one and done.
Yeah, let's hope. I mean, I know they change the uniforms all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff, but the uniforms.
Are you talking about the fact that the uniforms look like Kirk's Enterprise uniforms, not like they did in the original pilot?
Yeah. Well, yeah, not even like that, yeah, the original pilot. I mean, they don't even really look like, you know, the original series uniforms. And the Enterprise is definitely different.
Oh yeah, Enterprise. Hell, even Discovery.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it's got the. But the nacelles are kind of what they're like swept forward, and they got like a hollow spot in them and shit instead of being straight up.
Yeah.
Or swept back, whatever.
I thought Enterprise looked great.
Oh no, I'm not complaining about it. I think it looks great. I just, how are they going to go from that to the original series Enterprise, which is where this has to end up eventually, right?
Yeah, I guess we're just going to suspend disbelief on that one. Maybe. Or maybe it does a refit and they give them more, you know.
No, I mean, I'm not, like I said, I'm not complaining, and I know they got, you know, you get new people, new ideas, and you get things, you know, you don't want a TV show in 2022 to look like a TV show from 1969, so.
Yeah, you're right, but I'll tell you what, I would rather have a TV show that looks like it was from 1996. Meaning the models enhanced by CGI.
Yeah.
Because the models just look so much better than CGI.
And straight CGI, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what this Enterprise is, and it looks good. It looks really good. I'm not complaining, but you can't beat the models. Yeah. I mean, just what they had in the movies and everything, the way that they did the models was just incredible.
No, I mean, I think this Enterprise looks great. Don't get me wrong. I'm not putting it down.
Oh, yeah.
I think it looks awesome.
And it's gray.
Yes.
Not white.
Yes. It actually looks like it's made out of metal.
Yeah. Well, maybe they took a cue from NASA and about why they don't paint the fuel tank white.
Anymore, yeah.
Anymore.
Well, no, the ship's always in space. I paint don't weigh nothing. I just, you know what I'm saying.
Right. Yeah.
But it's definitely a different Enterprise than, which is fine. Like I said, I have zero issues with it. I don't even care if it doesn't match up with the original series at all. That doesn't matter a bit to me at all, honestly.
Yeah. I love the bridge.
Oh, yeah.
I thought the bridge looked great. So.
Well, they even got a 10-4 too.
Yeah. So he beams over to the Enterprise, and it's Chief Kyle. It's Chief Kyle. I thought that was cool that he was there.
Yeah.
I guess he never advanced in his career. But Spock's already there, and he briefs Pike on the latest and everything. And he tells him that they has Lieutenant Kirk on board, like as he requested.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that. So Spock mentions the loss of his sister, and you know, he's talking about, you know, Michael, mm-hmm. Michael Burnham from Discovery. And that's when I realized that Discovery is presumed lost. Nobody there actually knows that they went forward in time. So, but then they go to the turbo lift and it has the handles.
Yes.
So they go to the bridge, which, like I said, looks great. And one thing that I raise an eyebrow about is Lon Nooning Singh is the security chief and acting first officer.
Yeah.
And my first thought about that, it wasn't like, oh, God, here we go again. My first thought was, this is a doomed character. this character is going to die at some point in this series. Because if you think about it, you know, when they come across the Botany Bay, when Kirk is in command of the Enterprise,
yeah.
You would think that somebody like Spock would have been like, okay, yeah, I served with somebody that is a distant relative of this Khan. You know?
Yeah.
So that I'm thinking the doomed character. And that was the same thing I thought of when the first time we saw Ahsoka in Clone Wars. Yeah, it's like doomed. Yeah, because she wasn't in any of the movies, obviously.
Yeah.
But she didn't turn out to be doomed.
No.
But I just don't see any way around it. Lon is, I mean, she's got to be doomed because she has information that would have, like, eliminated a lot of bad shit that happened in Star Trek II. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, it does seem a little, I don't know. Yeah, it seems a little weird. I don't know. We'll see where it goes. I'm not.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't have a problem that they name dropped, but
yeah.
It's just, if she's around when Kirk takes over the Enterprise and we go to, you know, the Space Seed episode, then that's going to be a problem. So we see Cadet Uhura, and I don't know. I can't picture Uhura with like short hair like that.
Yeah, I know. I thought that too. I was like, I'm not sure about that girl's hairdo there, but
yeah, I mean, but she'll grow it. I'm sure she will.
Well, yeah.
So,
but yeah, I mean, but so far, I mean. The actress playing her is fine. I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, me either. So the ship is ready and they head out. And Pike has a hallucination of him in the prophecy. And the whole bridge crew notices it. Everybody notices him sitting there zoning in on the panel.
Yeah.
And like, hit it. Because I guess everybody has a catchphrase.
Right.
But hit it is a hell of a lot better than less fly. I'll say that.
Yeah.
So Pike addresses the crew over the PA system. He says, I hope I didn't catch anybody with their hair wet and their pants down. And we get our first look at the engine room, and it looks cool. I mean, it looks a hell of a lot better than it did in the original series, where it just looked like a room with a box and a screen in it. That's what it looked like.
Box, a screen, some Christmas lights.
Yeah. So, then we have a flashback grenade.
Flashback grenade.
And it's a Pike getting fucked up and being in the wheelchair and all that stuff. Which I have some issues on that too. So Pike is in his quarters and Spock comes in and he's like, I don't want to overstep. And Pike's like, please overstep.
Overstep away.
And yeah, and he offers him some Saurian brandy and Spock asks if he's himself. And he says that when he came back from the Klingon moon Boreth, he was a changed man. And then we see Pike, and there's like a really good piece of cinematography right there, because we see Pike in the background, but in the foreground there's flame from the fireplace. I'm like, oh, that was good symbolism cinematography there.
That was. It definitely was.
So Pike tells Spock that he knows his own death details. He says it's 10 years away. And Spock says that knowledge of death might be beneficial to the leadership. Pike says, but he experienced it and he felt it. And he's second-guessing himself now, and he's worried about second-guessing himself in the future. And Spock says that suffering can be turned into insight. And, you know, if he knows the exact date of it, then he can just request some damn shore leave and go to Ryza and fuck off for like a week or two until that date is well past, you know? So that was my issue with him knowing the exact date, you know?
Yeah.
So they arrive at the planet, and Pike sees himself burn self in a reflection again. And I really hope that that's not a recurring thing. It's like, okay, we get it.
Yeah.
We got that out of the way in the first episode. We don't need to see that every episode. You know?
I have a feeling everybody knows, though, but yeah.
Yeah, I know. So, but everybody knows what happened to Archer. And by the end of this episode, even people that hadn't seen the original series know what happened to Archer. Or Archer. Did I just say Archer?
Yeah, you did.
Pike. We don't know what happened to Archer. So speaking of Archer, they try to hail it, and there's no response. And there's no subspace chatter. And the Archer is fine, but it's empty. And Spock says that, you know, he's like, fascinating. And Pike says, I'm all ears. Anson Mount is a freaking awesome actor, man.
He's killing it.
Yeah, he is.
He's fucking killing it in this role, dude. It's like it was meant for him.
Oh, no. Have you seen Hell on Wheels?
No, not yet. I don't think.
Oh, you need to. All
right.
He's the lead character in that too, and it's actually the guy that played Chief O'Brien is in that series as well.
Oh yeah, old Cole Meany.
Yeah, he's in it. The rapper Common, he's in it, and he plays an amazing character.
Well, I'll check it out.
Yeah, it's about the building of the Transcontinental Railroad.
Oh, okay.
And how it came to be. It's really, really good. I loved it. But yeah, Anson Mount is the main character in that. So.
All right, yeah, I'll check it out, definitely.
So Spock says there's only three people in the manifest. So they ran that ship with just three people. It's like, well, Kirk.
It's only got one to sell, so.
Yeah, it's only got one to sell. How hard could it
be? How many people do you need?
You need one person to steer it, one person to give the orders, and then another person to twist the rubber bands up.
Right.
So, but I mean, you know, Kirk and Scotty and Sulu, they piloted the Enterprise all by themselves.
Well, yeah, after Scotty spent like months setting up the automation.
That's true. So, and look what happened to the Enterprise.
Yeah, right. It didn't end up so well.
No. I wish there was a scene at the end of this episode about taking the Archer back to the space dock or whatever. It's like, all right, I need you to take a crew over there and bring the Archer. I don't want to fly that stupid looking thing.
Right? I'm flying that piece of shit.
So, anyway, they're trying to detect a warp signature.
Yes.
And they detect a weak one, but it's difficult, so they say that it may be shielded. One of the bridge crew says that it has a weird signal variance to it. And Lan, she notices something about it. She recommends shield. And Spock disagrees and says that could be viewed as hostility. And Lan notes that there's no signs of space travel out here. And Spock agrees, and he's like, from all indications, they're like a century behind building warp drive. But there is definitely a warp signature. And Pike orders shields up. And then right as the shields go up, the planet attacks. And there's no damage because the shields were up, which Lan points out to Spock. It's like, no damage. Yeah, it's because we had the shields up. Yeah. And she does that several times throughout the episode. She's got a little mouth on her.
Yeah, she did.
But, I don't know, she's growing on me quick. I like her.
Yeah, I know you said before that she's Dune, but I hope she sticks around for a while.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to see her get offed, but I think for continuity's sake, she has to.
Yeah, something has to happen, but who knows?
Yeah. So, well, maybe she takes the Enterprise out. When what happens to Pike happens to him and it happens to her.
Yeah, it could be. But, that's, I mean, didn't he say that was like 10 years from now or 8 years from now or something?
Yeah, he did.
So we got time.
But, yeah. that's as good of a prediction as Mirror Universe Q.
Yeah, right?
So... But they fired plasma torpedoes at him, and Pike mentions that's like old tech. And it's like, how the hell were these people actually able to create a warp drive? And Spock's like, this is totally conjecture on Spock's part. He's like, they didn't. And I recommend that we go to Red Alert.
Oh.
And he's like, they didn't build a warp drive. They built a warp bomb. And ship goes to Red Alert, and we find out that there are two warring factions, and they're very pre-warp. And then the Vulcans, they invented first contact, and Pike's like, yeah, they, as the Vulcans always, they'll never get tired of reminding us about that. Yeah. He points out that most of the planets in this sector have warp drive and are members of the Federation. And... So Enterprise's updated scanners were able to detect the difference in the warp signatures, but the Archers weren't able to. What, you didn't put up Windows 11 on the Archer yet?
Yeah, right. It's still running fucking XP.
Windows XP.
Yeah. Running XP.
Yeah. So they decide that they need to go down, and Pike says, we got to go to the doctor first, and it's M'Benga.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool, and they portrayed it. That actor killed it.
Oh, hell yeah.
I mean, that was as good as Carl Urban's McCoy.
Oh, definitely.
So, I guess they have a thing for doctors, I guess, but I don't know.
Yeah,
they didn't really get enough of Pike to really judge. You know, so Anson Mount's pretty much able to invent Pike however he wants to. Because we didn't really get it, other than he's a hothead. Yeah, we got that out of the original series. But,
yeah.
You know, so Anson Mount's pretty much, he's got the easiest job of the known characters, because it's a known character, but he's able to basically create it.
Do whatever he wants, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. And Nurse Chapel is there, too.
Yes, she is.
And, oh, yes, she is. Yeah. So they get disguises injected into them that basically rewrites their DNA temporarily, and it's going to make them look like the aliens, which look like the vampires from, like, Buffy the Vampire Slayer or something.
Yeah, they do kind of, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. So Lon refuses the sedative that's involved. And she's like, well, it hurts. And it doesn't really show, but she's like, she has to be in control of herself.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we find out why later. I mean, she's got issues. You know, she and her family went through some shit, which we find out about later.
Yeah.
And she mentions that Spock's disguise won't last as long as the others. So, but they didn't show the her going through the pain, the immense pain. And we know that it's freaking immense, and yeah, we find that out later.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, I'm kind of glad they didn't show her going through that. but from what we can tell, she takes it like a champ.
Oh yeah.
So they beam down and materialize in the clothing. They materialize in the clothing of the aliens, which I guess that's a lot easier than, you know, having to change clothes up in there. And
yeah,
they materialize in an alley. Huh?
Yeah, I was just saying, yeah, when they were getting ready to beam down, I was like, clothes and blah, blah, blah are all in the pattern buffer. And I'm like, you can do that? They've never done shit like that before. They always had to change clothes.
Yeah, it makes a hell of a lot more sense.
But, you know, they always had to go get the clothes replicated and then put them on and then go to the transporter room.
Yeah, that's makes a hell of a lot more sense. But
I mean, I dig it. It's cool. Yeah. But
yeah.
I've never seen anything like that before.
Nope. So they materialize in an alley, and Pike's like, why is it always an alley?
Why is it always an alley?
But the funniest part of this is Spock's wearing shorts.
Captain, where are my pants?
Where are my pants? So
that was good.
The plant, yeah. So the planet is in a prolonged civil conflict. There's mass protests and violence, like present day Earth. And Pike asks Spock if he's familiar with the USA, and he says yes, and then he mentions the two civil wars. And so one society has the bomb, and they're close to having it they're close to it, but it's shielded. And so because of the shielding, they can't just beam into the building where the bomb is. So, but there's people blocking their way, and Lon asked for permission to ask fast. So she fakes being in pain, and she's drawing attention to herself, and then she tells Spock to get the neck. So he get the neck. So he neck pinches both of them, and they're beamed up for a memory wipe. So, but the sedatives aren't working on the aliens, and they wake up, and one of them bolts, and Chapel chases it, and they enter the turbo lift, and Uhura's there, and she just basically just like the pro that she is, talks the dude down, you know, gets him to calm down to talk about, like, I wrote sport ball, but she already had knowledge of the sports on the planet, and it's like, oh yeah. I think the Marauders got a good chance this year. What I don't remember the name of the team, but she did drop a team's name. But
yeah, she was talking to him like she'd known him. And I was like, dude, she done her research.
Yeah. So she, yeah, that's Uhura though.
Yes, indeed.
So. They arrive to the bridge, and Chapel's waiting, and she just sedates him, boom, and takes him back to sick bay. So, back on the planet, they're waiting for retinal scans so that they can enter the building. And Spock's disguise seems to be wearing off, and it's not working. And Kyle is able to beam his retinal scan to him just in the nick of time. So they go in, they find out that Una and her two crew members are being held in prison. And so they're in an elevator with a bunch of other people from that planet, and Spock's ears start moving.
Oh yeah, that one chick was checking Pike out, man. Even Pike's gonna get a bunch of alien pussy in this show, just like Kirk. You watch.
Yeah, probably.
She was fucking checking.
But
him
she was
out.
Also freaking out because, you know, she also noticed Spock.
Oh yeah,
moving.
She saw him. Yeah, that kind of freaked her out a touch.
She's like, his ears are moving, but this guy's sexy as hell.
I know, right? Goddamn. Anyway.
So, they find Una and the crew, and we find out that Una and Lon know each other, and Una had found Lon when she was in a bad spot, which we find out about later. Then, Spock, this is where we find out that how excruciating the thing was, because, you know, Lon is a human, and Spock's have a much higher pain tolerance than humans do, and he's just like screaming in agony as the disguise wears off, and then all of a sudden he just turns into his Vulcan self. So there's a fight, and yeah, you know, the humans win. And Una explains that they gave them warp. They're like, we're less than a light year from zero point, where they and Discovery open the wormhole to the future. And there are like hundreds of warp signatures. So they just used their telescopes and watched the event. And were basically able to, you know, their scientists were basically able to come up with the, you know,
I don't know how, though.
It's a stretch.
That makes no sense to me.
I know.
I mean, dude, we look at stuff through the telescopes that are hundreds of light years away, but ain't nobody on Earth fucking made a fucking space engine or anything.
Right, or a
or
space
anything.
Bomb.
You know what I mean? It's like, dude, there's how could they tell just by looking at ships taking off real fast what they were using?
Well, maybe they got an idea for it, similar to like how we got the idea for the atomic bomb. You know, somebody came up with some. There was an origin point for that.
Yeah.
But there was a lot more. Actually, there wasn't even that much time. Less than 10 years?
Yeah, there wasn't any time.
Yeah. So I mean, I guess it's feasible.
Yeah.
But
I just don't know how looking at spaceships through fucking telescopes gives you the inkling. I go, all right, now I know how to do that.
I mean, makes me wonder where they got the idea for the atomic bomb. So they're ready to beam up, but Pike says no. They have to intervene. They have to intervene. And he says, "Screw General Order 1," and he tells the rest of them to beam up and for Spock to stay with him. So they beam up and Spock stays with him. He's like, "I'm alien." He's like, "Yeah. I'm counting on that." So the door to the turbo lift opens, and the aliens were there with weapons drawn. And Pike says, "Take me to your leader."
Yeah, that was great. That was great.
Yeah. So next, they meet with the leader, and Pike's trying to explain to them. It's like, okay, you don't want to do this. And the leader says, it's like, I don't care. You know, we have the weapon, and we're going to use it to beat our enemy. So Pike's like, okay, whoever has the biggest stick wins. And Pike orders the Enterprise into the atmosphere. And he's like, okay, just show them what you got. So Enterprise comes into the atmosphere, and it's there. And, I mean, they probably should have, like, fired a dummy photon torpedo or something like that.
Yeah.
but all they needed to do was see the ship, point taken. And the leaders of the two factions meet for the first time, and they start talking peace. And we tell her, or blah, back up on the Enterprise, Lon tells Pike her backstory. It's like the Gorn had took their family to a breeding place, and they were basically eaten or used as like a birthing pod. and she was spared. And so she witnessed all the horror and everything of that and everything. And somehow Number One found her after the Gorn had released her. So, okay, now we know what's up with Mon. But you know who she reminds me of? She reminds me of the new security chief on Orville.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking that too.
Yeah. She and that show's coming back pretty soon too.
I hope so.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. I made a meme that says Star Trek Orville. But that show was really good. But and it just occurred to me that that's what it'd been like bugging me for ever since I watched the episode. It's like, okay, she reminds me of somebody, but who? And it just popped into my head. It's like the second security chief from
Orville. The one that's
who she reminds me of. So Pike beams back down and he shows video of Earth present day, and it's just, you know, the nice utopia and everything, and everything looks pretty, everything looks nice. And then he shows videos of the past, World War III, and he said it all started when Earth was there, and you know what? They couldn't resist. They couldn't resist throwing politics into it. Yeah, because they showed MAGA hats, and they're like, this is where it all started to go wrong. And they showed MAGA hats. You know what? We've been cool enough to leave politics out of the episodes on this, and we're going to continue to take the high road on it.
Yes.
You know, it's like, if you listen to these episodes, you might be able to get a general feeling of what our political leanings are, but we're not going to go there and broadcast it. We're not going to go blame one side or the other for, you know, anything that happens in a fictitious story.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just, come on. You're better than this,
mm-hmm.
You know? So, we're better than that, and we're going to keep being better than that. So, anyway, I'm going to climb off my soapbox now. But, lecturing Star Wars.
Star Trek.
See? That's what happens. That's what you get, Star Trek. I called you Star Wars. Oh, boy. So peace is made through a speech, you know, and it's like we haven't seen that from Star Trek in a long time. So wraps it up and they go on to the next episode.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's going to be an episodic series, so, which is what they promised. They said
a bunch of individual stories, not just one story over fucking 10 episodes or whatever. So, yeah, that's going to be awesome, just like old Trek again, dude. It's going to be great.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't mind the multi-episode arcs. I don't mind it, but, you know, it's also nice to have the individual thing, and that's part of what made Orville such an awesome show. I don't know if we're gonna have time to cover Orville with everything else that's coming our way.
I know, right? It'd be fun too, but
yeah,
I don't know. It depends on when it comes out, I guess.
Yeah, but if it comes out, I think it's coming out rather soon.
See, I keep seeing things where it keeps getting pushed back and dropped and picked up by somebody else.
Oh, really?
And now it's pushed back again. So I don't know what's going on with it. Hopefully soon. I hope it's soon, because I missed that show. That was a great show.
Yeah, it was. It was Star Trek The Next Generation, basically.
I mean, honestly, when I first saw it, and I saw it was Seth MacFarlane, I'm like, oh, this is going to be like a spoof. You know, it's going to be like a parody.
It had elements of that, but it totally wasn't. It was
it was, dude, and that's what I really liked. It's like, oh, it's not going to be like stupid Star Trek. It's going to be like good, its own kind of thing. Yeah,
it's not. I was expecting like a dumbed down Galaxy Quest.
Yeah, you know, like a spoof. Like I said, like a parody of Star Trek. Yeah. But it wasn't really. I mean, it had some moments, but, you know, for the most part.
It was like when Weird Al, Yankovic takes a song, or takes a band's style and writes a style parody of it. Not one song in particular, but a style parody, where it's like, it sounds like, he did one for Meatloaf called Stop Forwarding That Crap to Me, and it sounds like a freaking Meatloaf song. I mean, it sounds just like, it's great. I stumbled across it on Spotify a couple weeks ago, and I've probably listened to it 20 times since then, because I'm a huge Meatloaf fan.
Yeah.
and it's like a... It's like one of those like slowish songs that just has about like a bunch of that like harmonies and stuff like that in the background and everything, and it just goes through like six or seven different changes in the song and everything that picks up at the it's like one of those songs, and it's really really good. and he did the same thing with Devo. He did Can't Be Stupid. That was basically a Devo song. It wasn't a parody of any Devo song in particular.
Style parody. Style parody. Yeah.
And
yeah, he does those a lot.
Yeah, that's basically what Orville.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, so you're saying so Orville's like a style parody of Star Trek.
Right, yeah. Yeah, there was a reason I was bringing up Weird Al.
I figured that's where you were headed. But yeah, no, I agree. I can see that. I mean, but I just thought it was just going to be like an outright just joke show. I didn't think it was going to be.
I think everybody did.
I didn't think it was going to be like they're actually being kind of serious. Well, all right then.
Yeah. And one thing that really shocked me is, well, I'm not going to get into all that, but I, for one thing, I don't remember the episode as well as I should in order to critique it like this. So. But I loved it. I every character on there, thought was awesome. You know, there wasn't a character on there that I didn't like. And yeah, it's just great.
Oh yeah.
I can't wait till season 3 comes out.
Hopefully soon, but we'll see. I suppose. Who knows?
And as they're wrapping up the episode and whatnot. You know, with the new crew members arrive, and Lieutenant Kirk shows up, and he comes to the bridge. And you know, he looks like he's stoned, but we find out they had done a bait and switch on us. It's not James T. Kirk; it's George Kirk.
George Kirk,
and, which, yeah, bastards. But talk about a doomed character. I mean, he dies in Operation Annihilate.
You know, I barely even remember him. Was he like, that wasn't his, that couldn't have been his dad, right?
No. Nah, okay. I think it's either a brother or a cousin. I can't remember which. It's one or the other.
I see.
A brother or a cousin.
Yeah, because I fucking barely remember that. It's been so long since I've seen any of the original episodes. Oh yeah.
Well, I googled him, and I'm not. I don't remember him being in Operation Annihilate.
Oh no, it's Samuel Kirk. I just watched it. It's Samuel Kirk, not George.
It's like, okay, well.
Huh.
Oh, okay. I just googled.
Okay. Yeah. No. He just said. Yeah. I just rewound. I just because I had it going. Cause I hadn't seen it while we were talking about it, just so I could kind of look over at it. And I just saw it. No, it was Samuel Kirk that showed up. So.
Yeah.
And he's wearing a blue shirt, so he might not be doomed.
Okay. Oh, okay. I'm pretty sure the Kirk that.
Yeah.
I'm sure
he would have to have been.
Red shirt. So.
Anywho.
Yeah. So anyway, final thoughts on Strange New Worlds. I dug it, and I'm ready for the next episode.
Yeah, me too. I'm really looking forward to it now. I was cautiously optimistic about it, but now I feel much better about it now.
Mm-hmm. Especially when I found out that it was the same writers that did Discovery.
Yeah, I was worried, but hey, so far so good. We'll see what happens.
Wonder what the Klingons are going to look like. The Klingons will look like they did at the end of, you know, like when we last saw them in Discovery, when they started looking more like the regular Klingons.
Yeah.
You know we're going to see
I hope so.
Yeah. But anyway, I'm going to wrap this up and check us out on social media. All the links will be in the episodes. My original music is on Spotify. Just look for Bill Selby.
Yeah, my cover band is on Facebook. And it's Retroactive Days. Check us out if you're ever in the Brevard County area of Florida. If we're playing anywhere near you, come see us. Say hi. I'll probably buy you a beer.
Yep.
Yep.
And that's all I got to say about this.
And that's all I've got to say about that.
I wanted to see if you were going to... No snappy comeback on that one? Because I literally every single episode on both podcasts...
I know. I was waiting, but it's all good.
Anyway, check us out. Check out our other podcast, Crime Killers, Cults, and Beer. That one's it's true crime comedy podcast, and it is really taking
yes.
off. So check that out. And we'll see you on the next episode in about what?
Yeah, a little bathroom, beer break, cigarette break. We'll be back.
Yep.
Well, cheers, later. Everybody.